The idea. I worship God for who he is and what he has done for me. The key Bible verse, Psalm 95:1-2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Wyatt. Well, again, good morning. As we again continue our series in Believe, and we've looked at what we believe, kind of the basics of what we believe as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And now we turn the corner a little bit to what do we do about that now that we believe? And the number one topic for us today is worship. I grew up in a very traditional Lutheran church. We used the hymnal, and it was formal liturgy with an organ. But most important was the sermon. And Mom and Dad changed churches because of the preaching, not because of the music. But these days, it's pretty much 50-50, so the survey goes, with music and a message in balance. Preaching's important, but so is the music, and so is the style of worship, whether it's informal or formal. I had two young men approach me a number of years ago now, and they were in their early 20s, and they talked with me about worship, and one of them said, Pastor, I wish we could have more liturgy, more formal worship and, you know, chanting and that kind of thing. And can we do more of that with the organ and things like that? And then the other young man came and talked to me and said, ah, that's too scripted. Just go with the flow. Be informal. Tell people that God loves them and go home, you know? So which is right? Personally, I've had a number of memorable worship experiences. One I'd like to share with you is at Easter at my mom's church in Bethlehem in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis. Big Gothic church, full pipe organ in the balcony. And it was Easter morning, and it was a sunrise service, so everything was dark, and the altar was stripped bare. And we got there, and the sanctuary's quiet, and in down the aisle comes a motion choir. They're all dressed in black, and they come walking in cadence, you know, thump, thump, thump. Their heads bowed, thump, thump. And they took their place on the steps of the sanctuary there, and they were in the form of a cross, okay, a black person cross. And they sat there, heads down. And then from the balcony came the roll of the timpani. And as soon as that happened, they somehow turned to white. The altar was loaded with flowers and paraments and things like that. 100-voice choir comes down the aisles, and the organ is full blast, and Jesus Christ is risen today. I couldn't sing. I could not sing. It was glorious, that moment. I think of another time I was at Promise Keepers at the Metrodome back in the day. Dates me there. Think of this now. 60,000 men. 60,000 men singing praise to God. 60,000. It was a moment. And then a trip to Yellowstone Park with some friends during Christmas break back in college days. It was 20 below every night. Why we did this, I don't know. I still have all my toes and 10 fingers, thank goodness. We took our backpacks off at nighttime, made our tent camp, and then we went skiing. And we were like dancing on the snow because we were so light without the big packs on. And in Yellowstone, that time of year, it was a full moon. And with the hot springs, there's always this crystal snow just kind of hanging there. And with 5 feet of snow on everything else, you can't see park benches, you can't see anything. Like, you're the first ones there. And these friends were from our church camp that we camped, worked at during the summer. And we just had to stop and we would sing, and singing praise to God, five of us. It was magic. So from 60,000 to five, 20 below, that worship comes in all kinds of packages. So what is worship? Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, gives this good and broad definition of worship. He says, worship is anything that you do that brings pleasure and honor to God. Okay? Anything you do that brings pleasure and honor to God. It's not part of your life. It is your life. It is a lifestyle. Worship is your lifestyle. Now, many people equate worship with music. And music is definitely part of worship. However, there are no musical notes in the Bible. There is no official biblical instrument for worship other than our voices. And as you probably know, there is no official Christian music. There are only Christian lyrics. Okay, got that? There's no official Christian music, but there are Christian lyrics. There are all kinds of instruments and styles of music. There is organ, orchestra, choir, formal liturgy, Gregorian chanting, monastic music, a cappella, bluegrass, contemporary band, heavy metal. There's a cowboy church in the cities that plays country music, classical, Dixieland, even polka. All kinds of styles. And some like the traditional hymns, and others are more contemporary, like the songs of praise. And maybe you've heard this little piece. It's called Praise Songs Explained. And so, story goes, not long ago, a farmer went to the city one weekend and attended the big city church. And he came home, and his wife asked him how it was. He said, well, the farmer said, it was good. They did something different, though. They sang praise choruses instead of hymns. Praise choruses, his wife said. What are those? Well, they're okay. They're sort of like hymns, only different, said the farmer. Well, what's the difference, asked his wife. Well, the farmer said, well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn. If I, on the other hand, were to say to you, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, cows, cows are in the corn, 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 corn, corn. And if I were to repeat the whole thing two or three times, well, that would be a praise song. Well, then here's a definition of hymns. A young new Christian from the big city attended a small town church. One weekend, he came home and his wife asked him how it was. And, well, the young man said it was good, but they did something different, however. They sang hymns instead of praise songs. Hymns, she said, what are those? Well, they're okay, he said. They're sort of like regular songs, but they're different, said the young man. Well, what's the difference, said the wife. Well, the young man said, well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a regular song. On the other hand, if I were to say to you, oh, Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry. Inclinest thine ear to the words of my mouth. Turn thy whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, immitable, glorious truth. For the way of the animals who can explain? There in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearkenest they and God's son or his reign, unless from the mild tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those cows in glad bovine rebellious delight have broke free their shackles, their warm pens eschewed. Then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all mild chilliwack sweet corn have chewed. So look to that bright shining day by and by, where all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious animal makes my soul cry, and no longer see those foul cows in the corn. And then if I were to do only verses 1 and 3 and 4 and do a key change on the last verse, well, that would be a hymn. God loves all kinds of music because he created all of music. All kinds of music can be used for God's glory. One person, if you maybe heard this story, they had a near-death experience, and they went to heaven, they came back. What stood out to them was that in heaven, there were all kinds and genres and styles of music, and they were playing at the same time. But what stood out was that somehow it all came together. It gelled, it fit together to make it sound good, to make the music in heaven sound amazing. Music that, in unity, gave glory to God. God loves music. We love music. In fact, the smallest particles they found of the universe are wavelengths, and that's similar to what music sound is like, so the universe might even be made up of music. But worship consists of more than music. Every part of a church service is worship, praying, reading scripture, confession, silence, being still, listening to a sermon, taking notes, giving an offering, baptism, communion, even greeting and fellowshipping with one another. All of that is an act of worship. Again, worship is anything you do, not just on Sunday mornings, anything you do that brings pleasure and honor to God. It's not part of your life. It is your life. It's a lifestyle. Now listen carefully. And the best style of worship for you is one that most authentically represents and reflects your love for God. Based on your background, based on your culture, based on your personality that God gave you. Let me say this again. The best style of worship for you is one that most authentically represents and reflects your love for God. Based on your background and culture and personality that God gave you. Years ago, when the NALC, North American Lutheran Church, leaders and pastors and delegates went to Ethiopia for a meeting there, we sent Michael and Susan Bouchard. They went to Ethiopia a number of years ago, and they attended a worship service there. Safe to say, it was not their style or background or culture or personality to move and to sing and to clap and to shout and to raise hands. No, we Lutherans tend to be the frozen chosen in terms of movement in worship. But wasn't it powerful to raise a hand as we sing praise to God? Powerful. But it's okay if we're the frozen chosen. Again, the best style of worship for you is one that most authentically represents and reflects your love for God based on your background and culture and personality that God gave you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are all kinds of ways to draw closer to God. There are all kinds of ways to love God. A guy by the name of Gary Thomas listed these ways. And he says, naturalists like to be out of doors in natural settings to worship God and to love God. I think of going to church camp outside. Then there are the sensates. They use their senses. They like sight and taste and smell and touch and listen to draw closer to God. There are the traditionalists, ritual, liturgy, symbols, structure to draw closer to God. Ascetics like solitude and simplicity. Activists like confronting evil and battling injustice and making the world a better place. That's how they draw closer to God. There are the caregivers loving others and meeting their needs. That's how they draw closer to God. Enthusiasts through celebration and joy. That's how they draw closer to God. There are contemplatives, prayer, meditation, quiet. That's how they draw closer to God. And then intellectuals study with their minds, their thinking, their reason is how they draw closer to God. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to worship. There is variety, a wide variety, And it sometimes, at least for me anyway, it depends on what kind of mood I'm in that time. There are times where it's like, yeah, and there are other times I just want to be quiet. God loves variety. In the Bible, Jesus tells us that the Father seeks worship, those who worship in spirit and truth. And what it means in spirit is that your spirit, your heart, be it genuine and real and personal. Worship in spirit. And worship in truth, being honest with God and with yourself and with others. The truth of God's grace. Which means it pleases God when we worship, that when worship is authentic and it's thoughtful and it's practical and it's relevant and it's real. Now I want to close with this. Back in seminary days at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, we learned that in the Bible, of course, that Jesus has done it all for us. We are saved by grace through faith. He's done it all. It's done. It's finished. You are right with God. You can look forward to eternal life with God. Nothing that you did, nothing you can do to add to it other than believe it. It's that simple. It's called faith, believing it. So one professor at Luther was famous for a question he'd always ask. So, what do we do now that we don't have to do anything? The answer is, we do what pleases God. And today, number one on our list, what pleases God is worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.